VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. This past Monday, Planned Parenthood announced that they were walking away from and refusing some $60 million in Title X federal funding. Why? Well, to me, it appears that the killing of babies is more important to this organization than women's health. Planned Parenthood calls this Protect Life rule an unethical gag rule, and that the Trump administration is bullying providers into withholding abortion information from their patients. Well, here to address this critical issue, we welcome back Brad Mattis. Brad is the president and CEO of Life Issues Institute, the pro-life grassroots partner of the Susan B. Anthony List Education Fund. They're headquartered in Cincinnati. Life Issues Institute, co-founded by pro-life pioneer Dr. John Wilkie, and also Brad in 1991 to serve the educational needs of the pro-life movement. Brad is also the president of the International Right to Life Federation, a frequent international speaker and lecturer on abortion and related life issues. Brad, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
Let's begin by discussing Title X. What exactly is Title X?
Well, Title X is a chunk of change of about $286 million, and it's earmarked for specifically for family planning services, for those particularly of a lower income to help them help provide family planning services, direction, and assistance for those who need it. It has basically become corrupt, just like pretty much everything else federally funded these days. And now it's kind of used as a slush fund for those agencies, entities, and organizations that take part in it.
A little over a year ago, it was May of 2018, you were on this program with me, Brad, and our topic that program was the Protect Life Rule. And so let's enter that into our discussion here of Title X.
Sure. That's just part of having the most pro-life president in our nation's history. He and his administration proposed this pro-life rule, a Protect Life rule. Actually, it's kind of a pretty much a remake of what Ronald Reagan did when he was president, only it was taken to the courts, and it was through the court system all the way to the Supreme Court, while Bush was in office, and it was finally approved and finalized just months before Clinton took office, and then he stripped everything out. So it was reinstituted. It would prohibit Title X family planning dollars from going to organizations that provide for or refer for abortion or treat abortion like family planning. It would exclude them from receiving any money at all. And then that's to kick in this year. Then in March, they have to have, if like a Planned Parenthood has an abortion facility in with their offices, they have to physically be separate. You can't have a family planning Title X recipient under the same roof as an abortion facility.
Well, when this Protect Life rule came out, and I know many people across the country got engaged with it right away in filing comments, as your organization and others did, this matter actually went to the courts because Planned Parenthood couldn't stand for this. They were actually petitioning the courts to block this rule from going into effect. Tell us about that court challenge.
Well, yeah, they haven't found any pro-life rule, law, or legislation that they haven't challenged pretty much. Yes, they were very careful to challenge this in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is notorious for its liberalism, for its pro-abortion rulings, and just being far-left entity. Well, the thing was is that they drew three judges from that large panel of circuit of judges, and these three judges, justices, ruled against Planned Parenthood, and not that it decided the plan was constitutional, but that it could be enacted while it worked its way through the court, probably because the court has already dealt with this issue and they pretty much know what the outcome will be. And the thing was, is Planned Parenthood called this devastating to them, which really it is. They were to lose $60 million. Here it was, these three judges, two of them were appointed by our president, Donald Trump. And that is why the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals allowed this to continue to be enacted while it was working to, it is working through the courts. So it's just a vivid reminder, Jim, that elections have consequences. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't vote a dog catcher into office that wasn't pro-life. And here's an example of how important that can be.
So is this matter over with in the courts?
No, it's not. It's going to work its way through, but it's almost a carbon copy of what Ronald Reagan did back in the 80s and was found constitutional. So I think everybody sees the writing on the wall that this will likely be held up, and that's why Planned Parenthood has said, you know, we'll forego the $60 million instead of foregoing our dedication and loyalty to abortion on demand.
Mm-hmm. So the decision then is up to every recipient of Title X funding. Are they wanting to truly address women's health, or do they want to refer babies to a death squad and Planned Parenthood's made their choice?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it shouldn't surprise us because Planned Parenthood's goal, their mission, their central focus is abortion. It's not health care. It is just the evidence points that way because while they have increased the number of abortions that they do, Planned Parenthood does about 900 abortions a day. They've done over 332,000 abortions in the last calendar year, or the last annual report reflection of that. And while the number of abortions is going up, the number of their unique patients has dropped 20%. Their total services are down 11%. Their preventive services, you know, like cancer screening, pap mm-hmm. smears, and breast exams, you know, they brag a lot about that. That has dropped a whopping 67%.
Wow.
And their contraception services, which they're, you know, claiming that they are so important to women, that has dropped 31%. And, of course, the prenatal services have dropped 78%. Mm-hmm. So you're seeing all these so-called medical services that they provide legitimate health care needs and services. Those are all dropping like rocks when the number of abortions are going up. So it's just very clear that they're agenda is all about abortion. It's not about women's health.
But we've been hearing this mantra from Planned Parenthood for so long that we're all about women's health, all the women's health services we provide. They've claimed that they mainly provide health care services. And, you know, one would think if that's truly the case, why would they walk away from this Title X funding?
Yes, and they're walking away from women and women's needs also. About 1995, they got a new president then who was a nurse, and she wanted to make Planned Parenthood more broad-based as far as medical procedures and services that they provided. The board quickly fired her, and that's exactly pretty much what happened to Lena Wen recently. She was trying to broaden the services Planned Parenthood offers, and she was summarily fired quickly so. It's all about politics, Jim, lobbying Congress, advocating for abortion on demand throughout pregnancy, both on the federal and state level. They are abortion's number one driving force.
Wow. Brad Mattis with us today from Life Issues Institute. Brad, Planned Parenthood has stated, listen, when we're out of reach, when we're out of reach in communities or areas, there are disastrous consequences They indicate STD rates spiked in Iowa after four of their health center closures, and rates of gonorrhea and chlamydia have dramatically increased in New Hampshire when the state cut funding to their STI testing and treatment in 2012. Are we really in jeopardy? Are we going to see problems in our states now that Planned Parenthood is refusing this funding?
Not in the least, and I would highly suspect that the numbers that they're tossing around, statistics, are probably not accurate or truthful. For instance, in the panhandle of Oklahoma, they closed Planned Parenthood there, and there was a dramatic decrease in the number of teen pregnancies as a result of Planned Parenthood not being around, because what they promote is sex outside of marriage and all of their services without the parents' knowledge. So no, we're not going to have a dearth of services for women. As a matter of fact, Jim, we've got tens of thousands of community health centers across the country that serve men and women in need who are less fortunate, less blessed with the material things that you and I take for granted. And they offer so much more than what Planned Parenthood does. They offer family planning also. But the big difference, Jim, is that they don't offer the killing of their unborn children.
Yeah.
And if this goes through, these centers may pick up Planned Parenthood's caseload, but we figure that'll be about two patients a week for each clinic.
Yeah, because there are so many places that do offer services that do not refer women to kill their babies. But the impression Planned Parenthood is leaving is that women are now left without health care, but that is far from accuracy.
That's right, and they don't offer health care. They offer abortion.
Mm-hmm.
They try to make people think they offer it, and the thing is, if Planned Parenthood would go away tomorrow, America would be so much better off. So would America's women and their unborn babies.
Now, this is not the only federal funding Planned Parenthood receives, is it?
No. And, you know, the fact that they're walking away from $60 million may make you and I scratch our heads, because we could do so much with that good with that amount of money. But this is their second highest amount of money that they get from the government. The highest is about $244 million that they get from Medicaid reimbursements. But they don't need this money, and there's no reason we taxpayers should be giving it to them, because if you look, Jim, at their last annual report for 2017-2018, they have $1.9 billion in assets. Now, that's B as in billion. Their income for the last year has been almost $1.7 billion in income, and that's a 14% increase from the year before. And they had almost $250,000 excess revenue, and they're a nonprofit. About $250,000 profits from expenses versus income, and that was more than double the year before. So they are really rocketing through the stratosphere as far as the money they're bringing in, but the services they're providing are dramatically declining.
Our guest today is Brad Mattis. He is the president and CEO of the Life Issues Institute. We're talking about the Protect Life rule taking effect, and Planned Parenthood walking away from funding because, as I see it, the providing of abortion, killing innocent life in the womb, is more important to them than women's health care and women's health. We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, we know that Mount Everest is the tallest mountain in the world. Was that also covered by the waters of Noah's flood?
Chris, the Bible says that the entire earth was covered by water, but I really don't think Mount Everest existed at the time of the flood. Mount Everest, and indeed all the mountain chains in the world, are made up of ocean bottom sediments. These sediments were deposited as mud at the bottom of the flood ocean. Late in the flood, they were uplifted into our present mountain chains. In fact, at the top of Mount Everest are fossils of ocean bottom clams. This does not mean that the floodwaters sloshed over Mount Everest. Sediments which now make up Mount Everest were deposited at the bottom of the flood ocean and then uplifted to form Mount Everest. Chris, the entire world was altered by the great flood of Noah's day. This we're told when we go back to Genesis.
You can find us on the web at www.icr.org.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Brad Mattis is with us today from the Life Issues Institute. Brad, as we talk about this Protect Life Rule, early in our discussion, when you were talking, explaining this Protect Life Rule, you referred to President Trump as being the most pro-life president we've ever had. Did I hear you correctly? Is that really what you meant?
You absolutely heard me correctly. And, you know, a few short years ago, Jim, he was pro-abortion, supported partial birth abortion, had a lifestyle that was kind of basically confirming and affirming those positions, your typical liberal New Yorker. God surrounded this man with godly people when he became a candidate for president, and they have had a considerable impact with him, as has Mike Pence, who is a solid Christian guy. And Donald Trump's conversion to pro-life was genuine. He advised a friend to get an abortion. She did not. She had a little son. And that boy became the apple of Donald Trump's eyes. And now when he sees that young man, he's reminded that his position was not the correct one. Mm. And that helped convert him. And the staff is telling us that he is looking for every and all opportunity to save more babies and protect more mothers. And that it's really driving from the Oval Office, not from the administration.
Wow. Well, we are thankful for the life that has been upheld and the protection of life that's been coming, and that's even filtering down into those who respect our Constitution in the judiciary through his choices for the various federal courts.
Yes. Last time I counted, there were 146 court appointments, including two justices of the Supreme Court. And I'll tell you, Jim, these people are young. They are constitutional judges and justices. They're going to be around. They're going to be around for a long time, and they're going to have an impact on generations. It is so exciting to see this. And, you know, we've seen through history where God has used very flawed men and women to further his kingdom. And I guess we shouldn't be surprised that somebody like Donald Trump is one of those people who are advancing his will on the sanctity of human life.
Brad, as you are likely aware, the media has been jumping on Planned Parenthood's bandwagon. One news source called the Trump administration rule unethical and dangerous. Some have just been parroting the Planned Parenthood talking points, leaving viewers with the thought that President Trump hates women. Your comment on the media and their treatment on this issue?
Well, you know, I've been involved in the movement, Jim, for 45 years, and I've seen the media outright lie and show bias against pro-life all those years. And this is no different. They're probably a little more blatant in their hatred for the president. And they're going to be biased. If they were fair, I think we could have ended abortion some time ago, just playing on an even field. But that's not the way it's going to be, so we don't waste a lot of time, you know, fretting over that. What has really helped our cause is social media and being able to get around a few gatekeepers that were the major networks that controlled all the news reaching the people. And now, of course, we see those people that control social media trying to censor pro-lifers and conservatives, but that's a battle that we are stepping up to the plate for, and we're not going to cede that ground at all costs. We will. We'll maintain our freedom of speech.
Could this loss of funding of Planned Parenthood's walking away from this, might this close down some of their clinics that have been subsidized by our tax dollars?
Oh, yes. I think you'll see, we're already seeing evidence that they are consolidating, taking those smaller Planned Parenthood outlets that are at risk and incorporating them into branches or groups, regions, We're seeing a lot of conglomeration, if that's a right word, where they're coming under one roof, one organization, in a lot of regions. And that's bringing with it some issues of its own, because these centers are being treated corporately versus being able to make decisions on their own. And they were all forced to be part of abortion. They had to offer abortion if they wanted to be part of Planned Parenthood. So, you know, there's probably going to be some pushback with that. But we are seeing, yes, merging as a result of the dollars that aren't there. Some will just probably close their doors.
I saw an interesting statement from Catherine Glenn Foster, president of Americans United for Life, who said, "It's a great day for women's health in America. Planned Parenthood is America's deadliest nonprofit." Very interesting statement there.
Well, Catherine's a dear friend. She's also experienced abortion personally, so she knows from when she speaks. She bears the weight of abortion, the anguish that it's brought into her life. She's also known the grace of God and forgiveness. Her repentant heart has received that forgiveness and grace, and she is moving on, and she's doing a lot of good out of the ashes of her life. So many women and men are doing that, and I have a great amount of admiration for Catherine and other men and women who have experienced abortion and are standing up to say, no, this is not a good thing, it's a bad thing.
You had indicated about elections having consequences, and certainly we see the impact of the election as it relates to life, the pro-life laws that have gone into effect, pro-life administration right now. I saw an article in Associated Press, and they reported this week that there's going to just be this all-out full-court press as it relates to groups that are trying to overturn this administration and overturn state chambers and so forth. Groups like Emily's List plans to spend some $20 million on legislative races. George Soros, some $5.4 million. Donald Sussman, $4.8 million. Another $4.2 million. I mean, we're going to see a battle coming up here, Brad, perhaps like we've never seen before in an election cycle, fighting for the very heart and soul of this nation.
You're right, and we've seen it in the past, but it's escalating, Jim, as you said. Emily's List has been at the very front, and Planned Parenthood of spending tens of millions of dollars. But, you know, we have the heart of the American people. Instinctively, Americans know in their heart of hearts that abortion is killing an innocent unborn child, and it's often leaving an emotional devastation behind it for the parents of abortion. It's just common sense that killing is bad, choosing life is good. And we will continue to fight for that. And part of the Susan B. Anthony List effort, actually the main focus of the organization, is to work for and elect pro-life candidates, particularly women members of Congress, but not just now on the federal level. SBA PACs and are getting involved in the state level, because that's where the rubber meets the road for a lot of legislation.
Brad Maness, our guest today from Life Issues Institute. By the way, their website, lifeissues.org, lifeissues.org. Brad, there's another situation that has developed here in just recent days, and that deals with a director of Planned Parenthood that just came away with $3 million. What's going on?
Yeah, and she didn't have to play the lottery to get it, but she paid a very dear price for that. Myra Rodriguez ran three Planned Parenthood abortion mills, and she worked with them for 17 years. And she even won the Employee of the Year shortly before they fired her. It's very eerily similar to Abby Johnson's story that has been put on the big screen of the movie Unplanned. If you haven't seen it, the DVDs are available. I highly recommend it. But she witnessed some absolutely alarming and unlawful activity. You know, she saw abortionists partaking in illegal conduct, and one so much so that he had higher complication rates than those that could be justified. There was falsification of affidavits and patient records. There were incomplete abortions, unreported, and there was a failure to report statutory rape, which is when a minor is sexually assaulted by an adult male. And when she brought these things up, she was ignored. But, you know, Myra repeatedly brought this up, and eventually they fired her as a result of speaking the truth to power. And that was in 2017, and she wasn't taking it laying down. She sued them, and there were 2 weeks of a court case just ending last Friday. And her attorney didn't even ask for any dollar amount, but the jury, after just 3 hours of deliberating, unanimously awarded her $3 million. Now, I'm sure we're going to see this abortion giant appeal that case, but it's just another domino in the effect of things, the house of cards collapsing of abortion. And Planned Parenthood is the facade of legal abortion in America today. And this is another blow to them. It's another blow for truth, for mercy, and compassion. So it's really a good day to be pro-life.
Brad, there's another issue that we need to bring to the attention of our listeners, and it's the very troubling stories that have been coming out this week as well about the hundreds of babies that have been born alive after failed abortions and just left to die.
Oh, and, you know, it just breaks my heart to even think about it, much less talk about it. But, yes, three states have reported that in the last 3 years, 40 babies have been born and survived a botched late-term abortion and were left to die. It's just hard to imagine the suffering that those babies went through as a result. And, you know, most states don't require that any of this be reported. And for those that do, we're not necessarily sure that everything is getting reported. So this is just a tiny tip of the iceberg, Jim, on human carnage and suffering that's going on in the name of choice and defending women. In reality, it's enslaving women by killing their babies. And if they survive, then they want to kill them through infanticide.
And this is why there have been the measures put forth like the Born Alive Infants Act to protect these lives that have survived a botched abortion.
Yes, that's right. And pro-life Republicans have tried in the House 80 times and counting to bring the Born Alive Infant Protection Act up and have a vote in the House. But the pro-abortion leadership, namely Nancy Pelosi and her group, will not allow it because they know that a majority would support this law and that they would look bad. And especially they don't want some of their own facing a re-election in next year with having that on the record. So they're avoiding it at all costs. And it's just pretty much been a party line vote. We've had asked for a petition in the House. Members are signing a petition. Republicans have signed it in 3 Democrats so far. But we need about 9 more to pull it out and get it on the floor for a vote. But, you know, there are bipartisan efforts, Jim, in some of the states like Michigan and Minnesota, where the Democrats, along with Republicans, joined forces to pass that legislation. And so it's been encouraging to see that. I've been around this long enough to remember when it was a bipartisan effort on the national level, but it's not that way anymore.
We'll take a 60-second break. Brad Mattis is our guest from Life Issues Institute. Our phone number to Crosstalk, folks, your reaction to this, Planned Parenthood walking away, turning their nose at $60 million because abortion is more important to them. Your thoughts on the issue are number 800-733-9829.
The Bible follows the rise and fall of kingdoms and governments, covers millennia of ancient history, and reveals God's plan for humanity through powerful accounts that still speak to us today. In the hardcover book, Charting the Bible Chronologically, authors Tommy Ice and Ed Heinzen have teamed up to provide readers a panoramic view of the events recorded in Scripture, all laid out in chronological order. This book takes you from the words, "In the beginning," all the way to the New Jerusalem. With 40-plus full-color charts, you will see timelines of biblical history, pre-flood genealogy, Israel, the life of Christ, and a master fold-out chart of the entire Bible. This is a vital resource for new believers and Bible scholars alike, providing a visual guide to God's unfolding plan. Charting the Bible Chronologically is available for a donation of $25 or more to VCY. Call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Brad Mattis is our guest today from the Life Issues Institute, their website lifeissues.org. Ladies and gentlemen, what is your reaction to the Protect Life rule that's come forth from the Trump administration? It is such that it is going to be taking, Planned Parenthood has walked away from $60 million as a result, saying we would rather kill babies or refer to killing than it is to take the funds from the federal government. Your reaction to that today, our number 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. And Brad, we know that Planned Parenthood is not alone in this. We understand there are others like the Maine Family Planning Group, which also released a letter of withdrawal, and others are doing that too. And I just say good riddance.
Yes, indeed. Good riddance are good words for that. You know, they're just so dedicated to the aspects of abortion politically, but more importantly, you know, abortion's their cash cow, and they're not about to give it up because they get more money from that than they do from government funding for family planning. You know, they say that they're all about women's health, all about preventing abortions through family planning, when in reality this is a wake-up call to Americans that, no, that's not what they want. They want abortion because they make money from abortion. Planned Parenthood, it's estimated that they made $3,400 million.
Wow.
$344 million. Off of abortion services alone.
It sounds like they're exploiting women for profit.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. That's exactly what they're doing. All the while they're saying they're standing up for women, defending women, and providing vital health care to women when that's the reality of the situation.
Brad Mattis with us today. Again, our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Your questions and comments today. Let's go to John in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. John, you're on the air.
Afternoon. Now, we hear a lot of accusations about people being a racist, but I'm a Christian and I don't believe you can be a racist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And yet, they're number one.
John, your radio is causing great confusion here in the background. Let's deal, Brad, if we could, on this racist aspect, because Planned Parenthood, are they not the leading killer of black lives?
Oh, absolutely. I'm glad he brought that up because we did some research here at Life Issues Institute, and we found that, we drew a circle around a two-mile radius around each Planned Parenthood abortion mill, and that's within walking distance. And we found that 79% of them are in neighborhoods with women of color, either Hispanics or black women. Clearly, we've shown this beyond a shadow of a doubt. We've used census tract data, which is very ideal for measuring this type of thing. And it's interesting, for those who've been around the political aspect for a while might remember the name of Lawrence Tribe. He's always been an ultra-liberal voice for abortion. He's a Harvard professor. And he recently said, basically accused us of being racist because we're pro-life. He says that the white supremacists oppose abortion because they're worried about fewer white babies being born. And in reality, and basically he's calling pro-lifers supremacists and racist, but in reality we're working very hard to protect black babies and minority babies from being aborted. It is we who are talking about this, doing research on it, advocating for it, being a voice for those who have been discriminated against on the most basic level.
I mean, the dream of Planned Parenthood's founder, Margaret Sanger, it was all about eugenics.
Oh, absolutely. And she was very open about that. It was very well known. She's on record multiple times saying that their goal was to keep the community, the black communities, from having babies. And she said the most effective way was to get black pastors on their side.
Amazing. Amazing. And by doing so, to convince to their parishioners that Planned Parenthood was okay in the process.
Right.
Wow.
Birth control, and, you know, they said you need to plan your families, but what they were really doing is trying to keep, as she called, the weeds from multiplying.
Planned Parenthood has stated that this Protect Life rule is, quote, a violation of good medical ethics, and that Planned Parenthood won't be bullied into accepting it.
Yeah, and the reality is that the president and now Congress with their budget bill has reinforced, they've drawn a bright line between health care and the abortion industry. You know, Planned Parenthood desperately wants to be seen as a legitimate health care provider, and they're not. They're just a chain of abortion mills, and the largest one in the nation. And this is going to go a long way, I believe, in showing America their true nature, that being a chain of abortion mills and not being a health care provider.
Brad, as a pro-life organization, do you have a concern that, as you talked about President Trump being the most pro-life president in our nation's history and so forth, are you concerned that there could be a growing complacency, people thinking all is okay, I can check out on this issue now?
Well, I suppose to some degree, but then to counter that, you have like the governor of Virginia going on video and radio and saying that if a baby survives abortion, we'll keep the child comfortable, and then talk to the parents about whether we want to let that baby live or kill the child. These are blatant, extreme pro-abortion views that a lot of Americans have woken up to. They didn't realize the extreme agenda of Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry. And I think that's going to definitely work to our advantage to keep the concern, the feeling of being alarmed alive and well, because it should be. Lives literally depend upon what we're able to accomplish in electing pro-life candidates.
Brad Mattis with us here today on Crosstalk. We do have some open lines here, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Some interesting things going on in Ohio, where the governor there has signed a budget that actually pulls funds from Planned Parenthood. We've seen this going on in other locations as well.
Yes, and not only are they pulling funds from Planned Parenthood, they're providing funds to pro-life pregnancy help centers and clinics. Which is really desperately needed, because those people can do so much with what they've been able to get from state funding. There's also some federal funding that these centers now are beginning to get. It's being taken away from Planned Parenthood and given it to those who don't kill unborn children. Mike DeWine has been a longtime friend, the governor there in Ohio, and he is doing all that he can to further the cause for life.
Brad, there's some issues going on here as well pertaining to stem cells and their use, and some remarkable things going on with adult stem cells.
Yeah, there have been so many miraculous breakthroughs, Jim, that I would like to tell you about the most recent one. The Charlotte Lozier Institute has come out with videos, brief videos on these cases, of actual cases of people being saved, literally, by adult stem cells. And the latest one was Dave Kurtz, who was diagnosed with septic scleroderma. And that's kind of the hardening of the skin and connective tissues. And in his case, very lethal. It involves especially the kidneys, the hearts, and lungs. And, you know, ironically, Dave was a 7-time Ironman competitor. And he was really pretty much looking at a dismal future that would be very short. And he found out about some experimentation and clinics working with adult stem cells, not the embryonic ones that kill human life. And he had that treatment, and his quality of life has been drastically improved.
Hmm.
And we want to encourage people to watch these videos. The website is stemcellresearchfacts.org. That's stemcellresearchfacts.org. You'll see this video and many others. You'll get information as to what clinical trials are being done, and they will answer any questions you have if you need information. So it's a great place to go.
StemCellResearchFacts.org. Let's go to Marie calling from Pensacola, Florida. Marie, you're on the air.
Okay, I don't know if you can hear me. That just started raining real hard. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, go ahead with your question or comment, Marie.
I just want to say that these people are never going to give up, because it's not really the abortion it's about. It's about the Communist Party and the globalists are doing everything they can that they listed in the 50s or 60s that they were going to do, and they've done almost all of them in this country. They're trying to divide us, and they're trying to get rid of as many as they can, and to have been reading about this for a long time.
Thank you, and we do have lots of extra noise here, Marie. But, Brad, we are seeing on a global basis auspices of, like, the United Nations, who is promoting abortion is part of their very existence as well. They're trying to promote this on a universal basis.
Yes, you know, that term, one world government, is something they're really striving for.
Yeah.
And abortion is at the top of their agenda. They are putting a lot of pressure on poor and developing nations to accept their abortion agenda, or they'll withhold food and water and money from them that's desperately needed. So we're seeing a lot of pressure. As president of the International Right to Life Federation, we've been active in working at the UN and working with countries that also believe in the sanctity of life and value each and every baby that's born, and those in Africa have been some of our greatest supporters.
Ron is calling from Tri-Cities, Washington. Ron, you're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to tell you, I substitute taught in the inner city of Los Angeles at one of the charter schools right on 23rd. It's right in the middle of the inner city. Almost all the students were either black or Hispanic. There were, very close by was a big Planned Parenthood abortuary. And they used to have Planned Parenthood representatives come in, and they gave a class, Are You Ready for Sex? And they did that to sophomores. What they were doing is, of course, recruiting.
Yes.
They're recruiting kids to become sexually promiscuous.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that is a very, but just from my own anecdotal experience, it's a very valid complaint, the fact that they do put these abortuaries right in the middle of the inner city.
Indeed. Thank you, Ron, for that. And, Brad, we're seeing Planned Parenthood's involvement even in the writing of curricula that young people are being taught on issues just like you mentioned.
Oh, absolutely. I think their agenda is to get more teens sexually active to generate more customers for them. And I think they're keeping their eye on the prize, and that's abortion. That's where their money is. There was a friend of mine who used to own abortion facilities, and she said that they would give low-dose medication, low-hormone dose medication, birth control pills to girls, knowing that they wouldn't work and that they'd need to come in for an abortion because mm-hmm. that's where the money was.
Oh, folks, it's very disheartening news, and the good news is that there's going to be $60 million less dollars going into the coffers of Planned Parenthood. We're going to take a quick break. Brad Mattis with us. Our number, 800-733-9829. Those who are on the line, just stay there. We'll be with you momentarily. Other lines are also available, 800-733-9829. For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. My friends, Americans have been under a brainwashing operation for a long time. And not only are they following the philosophies of the Marxist from the Frankfurt School that came to America in 1933 from Germany, they're also following the ideas of an organization known as the Tavistock.
Institute. The Tavistock Institute did research on people who would go to war, who were POWs and who were interrogated. And what their research showed is that they could pit individuals against each other. And the goal was to pit people against each other and create stress, and to see if they could create so much stress and disunity that people would let go of their convictions. This philosophy and idea has been used on the American people at every level, education, media, and religion, to create stress, opposites colliding, and then for people to say, finally, I will let go of my convictions and join the liberal group consensus. Beware of this brainwashing.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Brad Mattis is with us today from the Life Issues Institute, their website, lifeissues.org, lifeissues.org. Laura's been holding here from Hollywood, Maryland, and Laura, you're on the air.
Thank you, John. I just wanted to say one of the biggest things that I've seen in my 38 years in this world has been the fact that all this, as your guest has said, is some of this goes down to the education. From the beginning, from kindergarten, mm-hmm. From the lack of being told that they're, you know, we've been evolved, to the total outright disregard for our life.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it goes all the way back to that aspect of education. And when we remove God from every facet, I mean, we remove prayer, we remove Bible, we remove any reference to God whatsoever. And so therefore we have no accountability. And just as scripture said, thank you for the call. Scripture says, Brad, where we see this cycle where every man did that which was right in his own eyes.
That's right. You just see scripture played out over and over again, biblical history repeating. When a young man or girl, young boy or girl, don't understand how precious they are in the sight of God, that mm-hmm. they're a child of God, that they're very special and unique, then they desperately search for love and in all the wrong places. And so the more we can instill in them that they are loved by the creator of the universe, that puts a whole new perspective on things, and that they're worth waiting for. To save sex for marriage.
We have Iris calling next from Delavan. Iris, you're on the air.
Okay. Hello, my name is Iris Peterson, and I've been listening to your program. I'm the mother of 8 children and 17 grandchildren, and my solution to this thing is to pray, because God knows what's going on. He knows everything. He sees everything. He hears everything, and I'm sure it's breaking his heart, because mm-hmm. I'm a Christian, and I believe in that. But I do a lot of praying,
yes.
And I have found things change just through prayer, and I'm just, this is my suggestion, you don't have to take it, but I'm suggesting that they pray against these abortionists mm-hmm. and against the evil they're promoting.
We wouldn't disagree with you at all, Iris. As scripture says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Oh, praise God, yes, because I don't have all the scriptures right before mm-hmm. me, but yes, because I know prayer. I mean, I've prayed on things, and I have seen it changed and turned around.
Amen.
You know, so, you know, all this evil that's going on with these abortions, that really bothered me, what they're doing to those babies and chopping them up and everything like that.
Yeah.
I thought, how horrid. That's horrendous.
Indeed. Thank you, Iris, for that call. And Brad, great supplement here to our discussion here today, and that prayer is so key. I mean, scripture says God hates the hands that shed innocent blood.
Yes, yes. Prayer is a good and effective tool if we will use it. And I've seen that just unfold before me time and time again. And one of those things, Jim, that I think we should pray for is wisdom.
Yes.
To know what's going on, to be educated ourselves, and of course our website at lifeissues.org is part of that. And for instance, we were talking about sex ed in school and whatnot. One of the things they're pushing on parents and young people by TV commercials and other things is like this Gardasil, a vaccine to guard against HPV-caused cancer. And it is cancer generally caused by sexual activity. And there are all kinds of detrimental side effects. Some kids are dying and having terrible conditions. And there's a dear friend of mine who has, this is a near and dear issue to her, and she's kept close to us on the issue of Gardasil because she's got young kids that she wants to protect, as do other parents. So being informed, protecting your children, praying for them absolutely above and everything, but then also doing the best in your ability to be a parent that protects them, and that helps to be educated.
Jordan is calling from Salina, Kansas. Jordan, you're on the air.
Yes. My question is that what do you guys think about if a monster, as in a gentleman or somebody who rapes a woman and she gets pregnant by him, what's your thoughts on her if she has that choice to either get an abortion or raise this child from somebody that took advantage of her, and she probably hates him for the rest of her life?
Okay. Brad, we'll have you discuss Jordan's question here.
Well, that's a great question on the mind of many people. And the thing is I've talked to many, many, many women who have been in that experience, and those that have had abortions said that it was not the solution to their problem. They felt that the abortion was a second rape or sexual assault. Those who I've talked to that chose life for their babies, never once they said did they regret that. And what upsets them is when people will ask them, well, how can you look into your baby's face and know that that's a rapist child? And they get angry and they say, this is my child. This is my flesh and blood, and this is my baby that I am going to protect and love and nurture. And they talk about what a blessing these children have been in their lives, that God has brought them there in a very unfortunate and violent way, but he brings blessings out of the ashes of our lives. And abortion, killing the child for the sin of the father, is very unjust. And it also works against the well-being of the mother, based upon my experience with talking to women. Mm-hmm. So abortion, killing children, is never the answer. We need to love them both, support both the mother and her child with resources and encouragement and efforts that will empower them to make a life-affirming decision.
Jordan, thanks for the call. We're going to try and squeeze Diane in from Milwaukee. You're on the air.
My question is, a couple of years ago, I heard from two OBGYNs about the percentage. It's up 30% of breast cancer that women who have abortions, and I haven't heard much more than that.
Okay, I'm going to have, we have 30 seconds. Brad, go ahead.
Studies back to 1957 worldwide have shown a link between abortion and breast cancer. And what I encourage you to do is go to our website at lifeissues.org, click on abortion and breast cancer, and you'll get much more information. It may sound absurd to the uneducated ear, but once you read about it, it's common sense and makes a lot of sense.
Diana, I wish we had more time, but we are out of time here on the broadcast. Brad Matt is with us today from Life Issues Institute, and certainly go to the website, folks. Get informed, be educated, lifeissues.org. Brad, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Jim.
And folks, thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.